Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. I want to sing two songs today about heaven, just because it's been so close to me this week. Watching, boy, you know, the Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. It is so true. I've been with both kinds, guys. Those who I was a friend to and who loved me and who I loved but never would trust Jesus, and I watched them go out into eternity confused and lost. Their images are still in my head. And then there are those who have loved Jesus, and I watched the peace settle in around a room. I saw the confidence in a family's eyes, heartbroken but knowing what's going on. Man, it's different, I'm telling you. It really is. So here's an old song. If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I counted the blessings from His storehouse of love, I would ask for one more favor of Him, the immortal King, and I know He would grant it for me. I want to stroll over heaven with you some fine day, when all the trouble and heartaches are vanished away. I want to enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasure have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come that first morning in glory, together we'll stand anew, and I will walk over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you one fine day, when all the troubles and sorrows are vanished away. I want to enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll heaven with you.
This is the spot where the founding pastor of the church, a Methodist church in Clarkston, was buried. And his headstone is here, but it's the thing, this huge tree grew right up through his grave and flipped the stone out of the way, and the tree was enormous. It was struck by lightning a couple of years ago, and they just took it down. But he was an incredible man and did a great job back in the, 1850s, preaching the word here.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before, no sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and one day there my soul shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. I'm looking now just across the river to where my faith is gonna be made sight. There are just a few more days to labor till I take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and one day on thee I'll stand. There my soul shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land.
Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures too, shall we? Let's pray together once more. Lord, you've had Matthew write these things down for us. We believe that the Spirit of God breathed through him. And we thank you for this faithful record of your life and what you said. Thank you. Speak to us through it. We submit ourselves to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 11. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Get this. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we gain knowledge in different ways. There's discovered knowledge. It's the fact that you can go into a laboratory and you can do experimentation and see how things react and how they work and learn about the world that way. I had my next door neighbor Eric. He was a mix of a scientist and an engineer all at the same time. You know, engineers are just a unique group of people. You know, John is so funny. John Hughley was telling me, I was asking him about his early consulting jobs. He said his first consulting job was with an engineering firm, and his job was to turn the engineers into human beings. You know, emotional human beings. He said, I failed miserably. It only lasted a couple of years. Yeah, it's a different group. And Eric was that. He was this research biologist. And man, we'd stand out at night in the side yard. And man, he'd tell me the stuff he's researching and working on and what they were discovering. It was exciting to listen to that kind of knowledge. There is a discerning of knowledge from the past by examining the artifacts that we have. If you look at old stuff, you can learn a lot about people and about the past. I once had in my shop an old wardrobe built by an old man, Wilson Vliet. His shop was downtown Clarkston, just past the light on the left side, just past the parking lot. There's a little antique shop that just closed in that old building. That was his shop. And in 1860, he had made this wardrobe. And I took the thing apart. I took it all apart to look at how he built that thing. And I was able to determine what hand tools he used and what his technique was. I got to learn a lot about Wilson Vliet, that he was hardworking, that he was a tremendous craftsman. He could build anything, and that he kept his tools really sharp. There were no nicks in those plane cuts from his wood planes. They were absolutely perfect because he kept everything razor sharp. There's a lot I learned. I learned about furniture construction by watching the old type of way of doing it. My buddy Michael Dunbar rediscovered how to build the 18th century Windsor chairs by buying them at garage sales in New England. I mean, we're talking museum pieces in the old days he would pick up. He would disassemble those chairs, or try to. Some of them you can't get apart. They've held together that well for that long. But he learned, okay, what tool would have done that? And he rediscovered all of it by examining and disassembling the past. My buddy Dan Thomas, his dad's an old retired GM engineer. He's in his 90s. And you know what his pastime is now? He goes and buys new stuff from the hardware and then takes it all apart to see how it works, and then he can't remember how to put it back together. That's an engineer, baby. But he's learning. He always wants to learn how they do that. The last thing he told me, his dad bought this gas blower. Wow, that's amazing. How do they generate that kind of wind speed? What do they use? What kind of bearings do they use? He took the whole thing apart. It's all over his garage. And they can't figure out how to put it back together. But that's a way of learning stuff, right? That's a way of gaining knowledge. I mean, the founders of modern science, that's how the modern science movement began. You had people like Galileo and Newton. These men, they started looking at the world, realizing that there was an intelligent God who designed it. And since he was a god of reason, that they, through reason and research and experimentation, could then discover how things work. It was the foundation of modern science. So knowledge is gained that way. I mean, it's knowledge that is discovered. But there's another type of knowledge. There's some stuff we can't know unless it's revealed to us. Revealed knowledge is very important, and for some reason, we think that only discovered knowledge is the stuff that we should value now. Only what we can see in the material world. But there is a revealed knowledge that, I mean, we can learn, when you start talking about God, I mean, there are some things we can learn from the world about God just by observing, right? I mean, you've heard Psalm 19 before. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. I mean, there is some fantastic things that we can understand about God. And like the Apostle Paul, when writing the book of Romans, talked about the stuff that we can know. It says like this. It says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, that's to people in the world, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men and women are without excuse. I mean, we can know that God exists and some stuff about him. He's got to be incredible. I mean, just go to the hospital. I mean, you know you don't want to go there. Those places are germ casseroles. I know, there's just everything in the world. That's why old people don't want to go to the hospital. People get sick and die in there. I'm not going there. You know, I mean, but just go to the hospital and listen to the details that the physicians talk about of the design of the human body. That is a miracle. It's incredible. So we can see that God is an amazing God, and that he exists, and that he is all-powerful. But the specifics could only be known about him if he told us, all right? I want to know him. I am messed up and I need help, and I want to know, how do I connect with God? I mean, how can I know that? Well, the problem is we have problems trying to discover that. Do you know that? You know, we all think we can go off on our own search and somehow find God in the midst of all of that. I want you to know, if you're going to try it that way, you're going to have a lot of problems. Because first of all, you have a head problem. Because God says, through Isaiah the prophet, "My ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. As the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I mean, do you get that? Do you understand it? I mean, you can't figure them out. God's way of thinking is one way and ours is another, okay? And there's no gap in that knowledge. We got a head problem. We got a heart problem. Remember, Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So I already got a heart problem. That means I'm not going to want to understand it if I could figure it out on my own. We got a head problem. We got a heart problem. Hey, we got another one. We got an information problem. You want to know why? Many deceivers have gone out into the world, and that is absolutely true. Religiously, this world is nuts. I mean, it's like, woo! I had a burial not long ago, and a daughter of the family came out, and she brought her crystals and all some kinds of other stuff to hold in her hands while she did the burial. She does all this stuff. And I told her about Jesus. And she was offended. "Are you saying your way is better than mine?" I said, "Well, first of all, it's not my way, it's Jesus' way." And yes. Yes. Because you got no answers, dear. You got no answers. Explain to me why the world exists. Explain to me why we're here. Explain to me why the world is so messed up and so beautiful at the same time. You got any of those answers? They're just, you know, there's an information problem. There are many deceivers going out into the world. And man, they'll tell you anything. You know, it's kind of like when science gets politicized, religion has become politicized, kind of. When science becomes politicized, it becomes junk. Like the science around so much of what is considered to be climate change has become political, because there's these two political views that oppose each other, and it's like there are scientists on either side that in some cases they make the research say something to keep their political friends happy. That's called junk science. Now, religious people want to be right too. We also have a selfish problem. So we got issues. So not only, you know, can we not understand that if we tried figuring it out and had the ability to do it, there's a bunch of other problems standing in our way. We could only know this if it was revealed to us, and it has been revealed to us. It has been revealed to us by God's Son, Jesus. Jesus is the revelation of God to us. In the book of Hebrews, the writer said, in these last days, he talks about how God had spoken in the past through the prophets and all those things, but he has spoken to us in these last days. This is the idea of God's last word to the human race. He has spoken in these last days to us through his Son. Okay? They said to Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father and we'll believe. He says, I have been with you so long and you have not known me. Jesus reveals the Father, and that's exactly what Jesus says. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. There's a slap in the head. There's one place to get it, and that is Jesus. He's the only one. No one, Jesus said, comes through the Father except through me. Do you hear that? He said something else. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And who is that? The man, Christ Jesus. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Would you? Go with me to Peter. You know, we know the resurrection of Jesus happened because Peter went from a little wimp that ran away and denied Jesus to a few days later standing in front of the Jewish Sanhedrin. This is a fisherman. Uneducated, standing in front of the most educated people in Israel, and he preaches them a sermon. I just love it. And Peter says this in verse 12 of Acts chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved. There's only one way to gain the knowledge you need to gain about God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Don't think you can find it anywhere else, because you can't. All right. Now, that's the introduction. Okay? So I have a long introduction and a short rest of the sermon, okay? You ready? Here we go, the rest of the sermon. How and why to come to Jesus. You ready? Pretty simple. How do you come to Jesus? Look at back in Matthew again where we started reading. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, Matthew chapter 11, where we'd started. Now, how do you come to Jesus? How do you do it? You join a church? Is that what you do? You go through a catechism class, or we called it kiddie prison? You been through those? Man, I hated that. So how do I come to him? You want to know what the qualifications are? They are two. Are you ready? Number one, come to me, all of you. By the way, do you see that? All. I love that word in the Bible. Nobody's excluded. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Is that you? Specifically, he's talking about a couple of different things. Are you tired of your burden of guilt? You don't know what to do with it. Now, there's two kinds of guilt, by the way, in the world. There's false guilt. I mean, if you had a manipulative person in your life, you know all about false guilt. They try to get you to do everything they want by using guilt on you. They're really sneaky about how to flip that guilt switch on you, right? That's just false guilt. Throw it away. But there's another kind of guilt, real guilt. You know, there's some people that come to me and talk about their guilt, and you realize it's false guilt. Other people come and they say they feel guilty because of their sin in their lives, and they don't know what to do with it. And that's real guilt. That's good. That's not bad. That's good stuff. Are you tired? People come to me and say, "I'm so troubled of how I've messed everything up." You say, "That's bad." I say, "No, that's good." Because now you're right where you need to be. Because you know you need a Savior, and that you can't change you. Or, if you're tired of feeling lost, the burden of that, of not understanding who you are or why you're here or how this world holds together or any of it, the burden of it is just too much for you. I'm telling you, this pain that we have of being weary and burdened is a gift. You know, men don't go to doctors very well. We don't do it. We don't want to go. Right? We don't want to go. We just want to live till we die. We don't have to go and, you know, let some doctor check us all out and tell us that we have to start eating different stuff or exercising and all that kind of stuff. By the way, if you haven't gone on my Facebook page, go on my Facebook page and look at the video I posted that came from my friend Tig Vanneman. You got to see it. It's about a guy space-time traveling to a guy who's trying to eat breakfast. He keeps coming back, "Don't eat the eggs." Then he comes back, "Okay, you can eat the eggs, just don't eat the..." Then he comes back, "Okay, I guess it doesn't..." And it's just, you got to see that. It's just really good. There you go. Men don't go to the doctor. And but there's some times that the pain is so great you have to go. They don't even care about it. They just want the pain to go away. Are you there? You know, there's two ways to kill your pain. The one is to go to Jesus. And the other is to kill yourself. I mean, I'm not talking necessarily about a gun to your head, but I am talking about drinking yourself to oblivion, or spending yourself into oblivion, or entertaining yourself into oblivion. I'm telling you, if you're tired of all this stuff, you're qualified. Come to Jesus. Another thing that qualifies you to come to Jesus is this. First of all, you're weary and burdened. And second of all, you do something else. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." This is referring to submitting to Jesus' authority. He is the King of all. He is the one true Savior of the world. and we submit our lives to him. It's so simple. Don't miss it. I mean, just come to him and submit your life to him and obey what he says. By surrendering your life and something amazing happens, you realize you qualify. The Bible says, to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, that means who believe in his authority of his name, that he's the king, he gave the right to become children of God. You see that? It is so important that we see it. How do you come to Jesus? Weary and willing to submit your life to him. It's pretty simple. Don't miss it. Okay, one more point and we're done. Why come to Christ? Well, Jesus says, I'll give you rest. The idea of rest means, okay, think of all the pressure that you're under. And you come to Christ and he gives you an intermission. You can take a breath. Gives you refreshment. It's the idea of a Sabbath rest. You're going to cease from all of that. Isn't that great? He will give us rest. I mean, think of the things that, the phobias that we carry that the Lord's trying to deal with us on. He wants to give you rest about that phobia. My buddy Steve, he travels all the time. He's on airplanes all the time, and he's scared to death to fly in airplanes. He's the one who always said, and I've borrowed his phrase, he only puts one foot down on an airplane. He only trusts it halfway when he's flying because he doesn't trust those things. He doesn't like those things. So back in the day, Steve was pastoring a church in New England, on one of the islands off the coast of New England. Richard Nixon used to come to his church. That was different. Stuff like that. He said that the president of Pan Am Airlines, when they existed, came to his church too in the summers. And so he said that this president of the airline said to him, Steve, I've got it figured out. I'm going to get you over your fear of flying. And he put him through a series of flight training that the pilots go through. He even flew some of the simulators. He said he crashed that sucker 3 times. So he got done, and the president of Pan Am, Steve, now you see how they're flown? You have nothing to fear. And Steve said, are you kidding me? I wrecked that thing 3 times. Now I didn't know all that stuff could go wrong. And then one day, this little old lady went to sleep, and Steve said, you can sleep through all this? She said, honey, I can't fly this plane. You got to trust somebody beyond a pilot. And something happens. I mean, he will give us rest from the phobias. Do you see that? Because we see the big picture behind our lives. I will give you rest. Again, this whole idea of my yoke, we come to Christ, first of all, because he gives us rest. Second of all, because we talked about submitting our lives to him, the yoke. But the idea is that we get to yoke up with him. You know, it's not about, okay, I'll forgive you now, and I'll get out there and pull the plow. Let's go. It's your job. No, we pull the burden of our life with him. We're yoked up together with him. And to me, that is just beautiful. You know, Bill Gard told me the most important things that he ever learned in life that helped him professionally was he learned his trade of being a carpenter from his dad, and he learned the Morse code from the Boy Scouts. And by yoking up with his dad and learning to be a carpenter and yoking up with the Boy Scouts and learning Morse code, we got into the middle of the war. He didn't have to go overseas. They want him to work, you know, in the technical areas, and so he did that. It saved him, but he got to know his dad. If you knew Bill, you would know how much he loved his father and that he did everything he could to help his father. And this relationship with his dad deepened at 12 years old when he began to learn the trade from his dad. Listen, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, and get this, and learn from me. Listen, the old translation's got it wrong. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. No, it's not. We learn of Jesus. Sure, there's details we want to know. We learn all about him. But you know, you trust Christ. You come to Jesus. You yoke up with him and you start learning from him. Does that even get, it can't get better than that. From him. He gives us rest. We yoke up with him and learn. And we also do it because we know who he is. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." It means he's kind and he's not humiliating to anybody else. You know, it was James that said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without fault finding." God doesn't humiliate you. I love that about him. You know, the religious, we can get so high and mighty, like we are better than everybody else. You got to be really, really careful of that, because people don't need our high and mighty. They need our lowly, like Jesus. Okay, so because of how he is and because of what he won't put on you, you know, if you will come to Christ, you got to understand something about him. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You come to Jesus, you don't have to be afraid anymore, because there's somebody watching out for you. And whatever you have to pull in life will be easy. It will be, you'll be able to handle it, because he'll, you know, there's an old legend that says over the door of the shop that Joseph and Jesus had together, that they were master yoke builders. They would hew them, of course, out of that great beam with an adze. And the sign said, "Our yokes are easy. They fit. They don't chafe. And they're light." Jesus is not going to put on more than you on you than you can handle. You'll be able to carry it because it'll be designed for you. Listen, haven't you tried living your own life long enough? Haven't you tried figuring it all out on your own? I'm going to encourage you to do something. You need to put your own personal faith and trust in Jesus, the Savior of the world. And you will be able to know things you could have never known, because these things are revealed, not discovered. You think about that. Stand with me, please. Would you stand? Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, would you help us? You know, we just don't want to give our lives up. And we've heard lies about you from the world all around us. And all we know is we hurt and we need a Savior, that we're lost. And so we're going to submit our lives to you. Friend, why don't you say something to Jesus like this? "Jesus, I'm lost. And I've heard this about you, so I'm going to trust you. And I invite you and ask you to save me. Come into my life. Transform me as only you can. I want to be yours. I give my life to you. Be the Lord of me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That's you, my friend. Lord Jesus, thank you for making it so simple and yet so powerful and profound. Change our lives, Lord Jesus. Some of us have added so many responsibilities to our lives, Lord, that you never put on us. We put on ourselves. Would you help your people to know the difference? Help us. Thank you for your gentleness and tenderness to us. Thank you for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.